CliffCentral.com.
Good Lord. Who even put this on the system, this song? It's a piece of shit. Really? Do we have to listen to that? Ben, was it you who put it on?
Definitely not me. Jeepers, I was cringing more than you were.
Good Lord, that was shit. Hang on, let me find something else. I've got to... I got to have a little break here so we can cut up the podcast. Do we? Are we good? Yeah, let's can it. What a shit song. Oh, why is that even on the system? Who put that on there?
It was almost as bad as the song.
See, I explain.
Oh, I love it. It's such a good song.
Who put that on there? It's almost better to hear this song again.
Uh-oh.
I would rather...
play the first song.
I would rather hear this.
I don't wanna go to where, all I wanna do is twat. Got me managers,
I'd rather hear this.
I just wanna go
alright.
Me, I'm wasting.
There we go, it's Rihanna. That's much better. I could listen to that over and over again, and probably in the next few months we all will. So here he is, the man I've been waiting to talk to for a long time. He's just taken over as the editor of Destiny Man, one of the few magazines in this country that seems to actually know how to run itself. It makes some money. It's in business. And that's hard to do that. It's very hard to get that to happen because, you know, it's a very competitive environment now. And magazines are, it's expensive to run them. There's so many competition elements now. There's online stuff that's happening. Tabi Sotema, how are you, sir? It's nice to see you, yeah.
It's great to be here. Thank you very much.
Good. You're
for inviting me.
You're all over the place. You're on radio, you're on television, you're in publishing. Huh?
Yeah, I could say the same about you.
Wow.
You're on radio, you're in television, you're in court.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Yeah, what do you think of that? Come on, you brought it up.
I did. Yeah. Jeez. Why did I go there? Why did I go there?
You think I wouldn't bring it up?
What do I think of what? Which part?
What did you think of the case? Who do you think was right? Do you think the judge decided the right way? Do you think I'm an asshole? I mean, what do you think?
Jeez, I love the way we talk on this radio station. Asshole goes, shit goes,
anything.
What else goes?
Well, I mean, if you want to be
foul,
why do you have to come here with your foul mouth and ruin a perfectly good morning on a Friday, huh? Come on,
nah, okay. Okay, where were we now? What did I think of
me.
The court?
You brought it up.
Yeah. Do I think you're an asshole? Yes, I think you're an asshole. But
I think
you deliberately try to be an asshole.
Well, this interview's finished. It's been very nice to have Tabi Sotema here this morning. And that's it from us, everybody. We will see you tomorrow. All right, bye-bye. And let's wrap it up. No, I'm kidding. All right. Very nice.
Yeah, well, it's what you do, isn't it, if you weren't?
I don't know. I don't deliberately. It's interesting that that's the opinion. Is that really what you think I am?
No, I really don't. I mean, I've listened to you on the radio for many, many years. From your time at 702, and then, you know, not so much when you were at SCBC. I used to see you all the time, actually.
Yeah, but, I saw you often there.
Yeah, but I really don't think you're an
Thanks,
asshole,
man.
To be quite honest. And I'm not just saying
sure.
it because I'm here.
Whew, thank goodness.
But, I think you're Piers Morgan, a wind-up artist. You know, I think that you get under people's skins deliberately, and otherwise you wouldn't.
I think a lot of South Africans are scared to have opinions.
No, absolutely. We still live in a very fearful environment for one reason or another, for many reasons, you know. People's livelihoods are affected by some of the opinions that they hold. I mean, for example, think about when in your time at the CBC, it was career limiting to say, to hold certain opinions. You got away with a lot. But most of us wouldn't go there when we were at the CBC. I had a couple of occasions when, you know, I got into trouble as well. But
when did you get into trouble?
Well, this was when I was at 2000, but it never got to the point where it was went to the B, was escalated to a point. But I got an email to say I need to explain myself for calling.
Not the worst feeling because you just want to get your pay at the end of the month. You've got things to, you've got bills to cover, you know, and you're doing a job and you go in there every day. You don't have a script. You're not working off a script. You've got 3 hours.
And they don't give you a script. But then when you go according to the script that's not there, then they take exception to it. Yeah, they nail you.
And you know in radio you could be fired any day for anything you do.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It doesn't make you any less anxious.
Yeah, no, totally. And yeah, it's something that we're just gonna look. We have to admit where we are as a society and be cognizant of that. We are still emerging. We're still figuring ourselves out. 20 years is not a long time. 21, no. What is it? Yeah. No. So we're still figuring a lot of things out. And I think it's changing. People are pushing the boundaries. People are speaking out. You only have to look at what's happening on campuses right now. It is not necessarily something we all understand, but it is the reality. This is the real South Africa. The new South Africa concept, I think, it's in the past now. We're dealing with the real South Africa now. So that involves now also people learning to say what they, you know, to speak their minds. And it's slow. We get in there. It's a painful process, as you would have discovered. Mm-hmm. I believe we'll get there eventually. Hopefully it happens in you and I's lifetimes.
I hope so too. Well, let's look at you. I mean, you've had an amazing career so far. And congratulations on the Destiny Man Mag.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
That's a cool job.
I think it is.
It is fun to run a magazine, huh?
3 weeks later.
How's it feeling?
It's feeling, you know what? It's exciting. For me, I've just been given this amazing opportunity to play in a field where I've been involved, as you mentioned, in the media pretty much all my working life, and I've dabbled in everything. Even though I've written for magazines in the past and all of that, I've never worked in a magazine environment. So this is a whole new challenge.
Who's your
boss?
Is your boss Kanye Dlomo?
Kanye Dlomo is my boss.
What an amazing cool boss.
Yeah, totally amazing. She's an incredible person, and I admire her in terms of what she's done with her career. I mean, from somebody who was a newsreader to a media mogul now.
She is a mogul.
She's a media mogul now. So
she still looks great too.
Absolutely, she looks like she did when she was on TV.
No change. And she's made a huge amount of money, and she's got success all around her. And one of the titles, I didn't mean that as any kind of setup when I said it earlier, but Destiny Man is really one of the few magazines that still works. Destiny is still one of the few magazines that still works because it's a tough business right now to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. Print is extremely difficult. Magazines are struggling. Newspapers are struggling. In fact, there's even people who are talking about the demise of the new newspapers, that people will not be reading hard copy in not so long, you know. But I think that might be a little bit premature as well, you know, to write the obituary of print. But, of course, as we get into the digital era, it presents new challenges, and which all titles are now having to meet. You know, you're no longer just going to survive no longer have to be, you know, in the print environment, which is expensive, massively expensive. Sure. To print papers, to print magazines,
to get photographs. It's a whole thing.
So now digital has just opened up the world to such a much bigger audience. I mean, look at what you guys are doing here with Cliff Central. That's the way the world is going, and I think we should just all embrace it, and no point fighting it. I mean, this is the era that we're living in. Yeah.
Where are you actually from? Where were you born?
Actually, I was born in Attridgeville, and I was born,
you're a Pretoria guy like me.
Yeah, I say Attridgeville, but it's actually not accurate. I was born in Lady Selborne. What was Lady Selborne? There was a hospital there on your way to Mabopane. That's where I was born. But my parents were living in Attridgeville at the time. So I lived there until I had to go to school, because I started going to school at around the time of the uprisings, the Soweto uprisings. So I think my mom decided at the time that, I don't know if you're going to get an education if things carry on like this. So I was shipped off into exile to go live with my grandparents.
Were they activists?
In Mafikeng. No.
You mean, sorry, when you say exile, you mean Mafikeng.
In Bophuthatswana.
Got you, all right.
The Republic of Bophuthatswana, yeah. So I went to school all my life there. Uh-huh. Primary and high school, and then,
I want to interrupt for a second. There seems to be a disproportionate amount of, and it's because of Bophuthatswana, the Setswana in our media environment. There seem to be a lot more Tswana-speaking people in it. Because I think Bophuthatswana had TV, they had radio, they had a culture of kind of output of media, where the other then homelands really were not necessarily doing those things. And it's an interesting thing to see, because it's really very disproportionate, but it's been great for Tswana, for the language.
It is. I mean, a lot of it has to do with what was happening in Mafikeng in particular. I mean, yeah. Mangope had many weaknesses, you know, but the guy was a visionary. He was well ahead of his time in his thinking, and that was visible in a lot of the things that he did. You talk about television. The Pupu Tswana was the first to get television. I think Radio Bob was making waves, kicking the butts of SABC stations in South Africa on medium wave.
And so many people came from that.
Absolutely.
It was like a university.
Tim Modise, Bob Mapena, the people who went to Notemba Matumo, the list is endless. And
in fact, the thing that ties all of this together, I was on a magazine cover for Destiny Man not so long ago with Bob and with Tim. And Tim finished last week. It was his last show.
Yes, I heard you on Power FM.
Yeah.
Last week, yeah.
How's the Power FM job? We're jumping around a lot, but there's lots I want to talk to you about. How's the Power FM job going?
It's good. You know, it's no startup is easy, as you would know. It is tough. You are fighting against monsters in the game. I mean, primary competition are people that have been established for 30 plus years, you know, so it is not going to, and they are certainly not about to make it easy for you. You know, they are cranking up the turning the screws all the time, so the challenges are enormous, but we are up for it. You know, failure is not an option.
It's great to be working in those two jobs, just the Destiny Man one that I'm talking about now and Power FM, with two people who really are at the forefront of creating and building and growing black entrepreneurship, given Mkari and Kani Dlomo. I mean, these are two people who are really, they are self-made rising stars.
Absolutely. I mean, Given is an extraordinary man. I mean, his story is unbelievable. A man who came to Joburg in a taxi and today is a media mogul in his own right as well. And his success is not by accident or chance or luck. The guy works hard. Yeah, the guy busts a gut like no one I know. He is driven like nobody I know.
Well, and, it's so funny. He called me last Thursday and said it's Tim's. He was basically producing Tim's last show last week.
That's what he does. He's
the boss of the station. He was producing the show.
Producing and hosting it, wasn't he, on the day?
And he said to me, we need you on this time. Can you do it? Blah. I said, Tim, don't you have a producer for this? He said, I'm the producer for this. He gets involved.
He's very hands-on, much to a lot of the annoyance of some people. But that's who he is. He's got so much vested in interest in these things. And he, primarily, I mean, outside of the stuff that Given has been successful at in terms of his businesses or in the business, you got to remember that this guy essentially is a radio man through and through.
Definitely.
You know, so he loves the medium. I don't even know how he manages to stay away for as long as he has, because he really, really loves radio. So he listens. He's very involved in our shows. He calls me all the time if he feels that I wasn't up to scratch on the day or whatever.
That's so irritating when management do that. Huh?
He is that guy, though. He is that guy. Yeah. But,
now, Tubby, so apart from these two jobs, you also juggle a bit of a role on Supersport.
That is actually my real job. I say that my real job because that's what I was training. That's what I started doing when I got into the business. I started.
Didn't you start? You were in the founding team of ENCA.
I was indeed. And I actually started off as a sports presenter on SAFM. That's how I began my career as a broadcaster. And, you know, when you're at the SABC, opportunities come about. So then I got a chance on TV as well and started doing commentary and presenting there. And so it evolved. Yeah. But primarily, that's why I still get much to my annoyance. People say, you're a sports guy. What are you doing interviewing politicians and stuff like that? You know, people like to box us in.
They want to make you do one thing.
Exactly.
You do just one thing. And it irritates a lot of people that there are guys like you in the media. I don't know why it irritates them. They think that if you weren't doing those jobs, maybe they would have them. But it irritates them that you do so many things. But they don't realize that that's output from you. It's not as if you're just occupying offices.
Well, this is precisely the point. And I must have something to offer, you know.
Yes.
People don't owe me anything, you know. All the people that are giving me these opportunities, which is what they are, opportunities, are not. They don't owe me anything.
And
you
it's
know?
Not charity.
Not at all. I'm working. Yeah, exactly. I have to deliver. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Those people who go around saying, oh.
Yeah,
that Tavi Sotema takes up three jobs, and they could be one of them could be mine. It's my moment to shine.
I've been getting that a lot lately, but
really,
by the way, yeah, so I was like, sure.
See, you're screwed. Mm. You're screwed if you work hard and you do three jobs,
and you're screwed if you do nothing.
If you do nothing, then they call you a deadbeat.
Exactly.
You can't.
No,
win.
I think people, you know, it's what you choose to take out of these things. You can either choose to be inspired or to be a hater, you know. Just think like, wow, if this guy can do it. And, you know, people say, how do you juggle it? I mean, these are people are not being like, how do you do this? I mean, where do you get the time? I say, yo, do you have any idea how hard people work out there? And I'm not even talking about people in the highest end of society. I'm talking about people who get up at 3 a.m. just to catch a train to get to work and get home at 9 when their kids are asleep. And you think I'm working hard. I have it quite easy compared to them. And then people who sit on 20 boards and all kinds of things. People work hard, you know.
But don't you think it's because most people will usually have one job, a 9-to-5, and then they see you struggling three or four jobs and they think, but why and how? For them, there's a disconnect. They can't understand how you make it all work.
Yeah, but also I think it has to do with the fact that people don't understand how our industry, if you like, works. You know that for the longest time I've worked as a freelancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I basically got paid when I was on air. If I wasn't on air, I didn't get paid. So you have to go and find all kinds of income streams. So that's how it all started. You know, it wasn't until 2 years ago that I actually got paid a salary.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever earned a straightforward salary.
Mm, no.
I don't think you can in the media business.
No.
And because that's your area of kind of expertise, and these are very public jobs, people get to see what you do.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they also get to say things to you like, oh, it must be easy to sit there and do sport and TV.
Just
and then
talk and
do
get
TV.
Paid. Yeah.
Yeah, you just talk.
I often say to people that, yeah, well, you could say that, you know, anyone can do what I do. But the big difference is that I'm doing it.
And not you.
That's how easy it
Shut
is.
Shut up, you loser, yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of hating going on in the country.
Well, especially on social media. Mm. I mean, how do you feel about social media?
Yeah, I must say I'm a little bit scared of it, but I've learned to develop a thick skin. I don't know how people like you deal with it, you know, where you don't seem to, you almost seem to court it, actually, whereas I try to avoid the... I wouldn't say I try to avoid the controversy, but I engage people who I think are worth engaging.
Mubs, listen to what he said after the budget. This must have got you some serious heat. He said, this proposed sugar tax is going to hit sugar daddies hard. Isn't that great? I'm sure you got some shit for that, right?
Not really. Not? People take it in a spirit. Funny, people took that in a spirit that it was meant. But I got to be careful now about things that I say, lest I get myself into trouble now.
Yeah.
These kind of opportunities, what does it say in the Bible about to whom much is given, much is expected. So I've got responsibilities now. I can't say half the stuff that I'd like to say on Twitter anymore. Because it's not just about me anymore. I've got brands that I'm carrying with me as well, all the time. So I've got to be a little bit more responsible. My wife reminds me all the time. She just actually hates the whole social media thing.
Is your wife in any media kind of environment?
We met at SABC, actually.
She's now
in PR, but PR and communications. But yeah, we met when she was working for RSG.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
RSG.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
Radio Sonar Gred. What?
Yeah, Radio Sonar Mensa.
Borders. Radio Without Borders.
Okay.
Yeah.
So hallo, ons is nou weer hier by RSG. Jy is gelukkig saam met ons vanoggend. Ons gaan vandag praat oor die droogte daar in die Vrystaat. Almal, daar is koeie wat doodgaan en mense kak hulle self af daarso en is net fok of water.
Well, not quite.
Right?
that would be about right. I never listened to it, but I'm going to take your word. I'm going to take your word for it.
So did your wife have to listen to it? She obviously had to listen to it.
Of course she had to listen to it, yeah. So, yeah.
She had to have pretty good Afrikaans going on there.
Yeah, well.
They
often happens when
don't
you
they get letters? They get letters on RSG from there. They still get written letters from their listeners, right? Because a lot of their listeners don't know email, for example.
That just happened.
Here it is, brief van mevrouw Duiselaar. Hulle skryf uit welkom. En sy wil net sê, sy geniet baie van die gesprek oor boerdery, maar sy hou niks van hierdie kak oor Rihanna nie. Sy weet nie wie is Rihanna. Sy stel nie meer langer Rihanna nie. So dankie, mevrou Duiselaar, uit welkom.
Your Afrikaans is very good, but you are from Pretoria.
You're from Pretoria. Yeah.
You went for you know the tax.
Yeah, you know, Attridgeville is an interesting place. I mean, to grow up there must have been interesting, because Attridgeville was really different to a lot of townships.
Very.
The middle of Attridgeville is like the suburbs.
It's a beautiful park.
Yeah, there's that church at the top.
Yeah, it was a beautiful
sports
township.
Fields.
Yeah.
It really isn't like the other townships. And it's also, everything there seemed to have been spared some of the ugliness of a lot of what went on in the townships. It, by no means am I saying it was a picnic.
Mm-mm.
But it wasn't as ugly, you know. Tembisa, there was violence and there were hostels, and there aren't hostels in old Alex.
You know, as I said, I mean, I left Attridgeville when I was very young, but I've maintained the contact with the township. And one thing is for sure, I've always gravitated towards to people from Pretoria. Even my friends that when we were in school in Mafikeng were guys who were generally from Pretoria and everything. And it's true what you say about Attridgeville being spared a lot of what happened in other townships. The thing about thugs and all of that, it came very late, you know.
But we have to be careful, because you see, if I say this, or if you say it, it almost sounds like we're making Attridgeville sound like it's the good township.
Oh, hell no.
Which is not what I'm saying.
Hell no. It was also a small township, you know.
Absolutely, but so, it was different. It really was. And only because I've been there do I know.
Well, people from Attridgeville will tell you that they're different. They still consider themselves very different from Sowetans, especially. They look down upon people from Soweto and Attridgeville.
Yeah, right.
They look down upon everyone, every other township, Mamelodi and all of that. They say Attridgeville is the township. They consider themselves very sophisticated. You know, there was a very educated class that came out of Attridgeville.
A lot of academics.
Yes,
a lot of
very revered.
A lot of politicians.
That. Absolutely. Yeah. So, and it's always had that about it. And people from Attridgeville are very proud of Attridgeville. It's changed a lot. You know, the king of bling now comes from Attridgeville.
That's right.
So, yeah, but I mean, so has the rest of the country. But it's got a soul that is unique, I think, in terms of that. But in terms of the lived experience, it's certainly no different from any other South African township. But people had it very hard there. You know, poverty is a very real thing and continues to be. So, yeah, from that point of view. But it's always had a soul. People in Attridgeville have always thought of themselves as special.
Actually, a lot of musicians, too.
Mm. And even the music that people, they're very discerning about. Like, they're very always sophisticated. People
jazz.
Into jazz. Yeah, is a huge thing in Attridgeville. Yeah, so it is a special township. And, I think... And even though I didn't really spend that many my formative years there, I still feel a very strong bond with there, with strong connection with it. My father's buried in Attridgeville,
is he?
So I feel like that's where my roots are anchored. Yeah.
You have kids?
I do. I've got two beautiful little girls, Wahile and Liana. They're 6 and 2. They will be 6 and 2 soon. They'll be 6 in May and 2 in June.
Does the six-year-old know now what her dad does? Does she have an idea of kind of what your job is?
Yeah, she does. I mean, you know, but then she's completely unfazed by it. I just think she sees it as another job.
Her dad is on TV. All her friends' dads are not.
Yeah, but I don't think it means much to her, actually. I must say, she just thinks like, I think in a way, and I think the older she gets, I think the more annoying she finds it, because I work on weekends. I'm never work middle of like a night. I'm gonna, you know, other people are coming home to be with their kids. I have to take off to go and do the TV gig and all of that. So I think that gets to her. I think the older she gets, so I think it's something I'm also gonna have to be more aware of. Try and make more of an effort to be around. So I need to make as much money as I can now, so I can stop working so many jobs.
Yeah, so that you can see your kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Apparently, some other dude walked past the house the other day and they screamed, "Daddy," and it was nothing like you. I just haven't seen you in such a long time.
Do you know something? Are you trying to tell me something?
What's the best thing about doing afternoons on radio? Because there is something cool about it. Like, you can wake up a little late in the morning.
Mm. Well, I used to be able to get up a little later in the afternoon.
Do you take the kids to school?
I used to do the drop-off until very recently. I used to do drop-off my little one at school. But now I get to Destiny a lot earlier in the day.
See, you have to take on another job.
You know, man, I've never had to deal with traffic in my life.
It's horrible.
Now it's a reality.
Where are the offices for Destiny? Are you in the middle
of town? In Branston.
Okay, thank God. Yeah, you don't have to be in town. But then that's you know, if people say maybe it's better not to be in town, but actually yesterday I had to drive to a meeting at 10 o'clock in Bryanston. It was also hell.
Mm. Oh, it's hell bad. Everywhere. The traffic is bad. Yeah. And it doesn't seem like it's in certain hours anymore. Joburg traffic is just getting nasty, and it's going to get even worse with the work that they're doing on the highway, the double-decker section of the highway.
Oh,
it's
going
to get even worse. Yeah, so I really, really, I'm so jealous every time I go to Europe and like think that, make that sound like I go there often, but every time I've been to Europe, I'm very jealous about the public transport. I wish
we had more Gautrain. And more
kind of public cars.
Well, what we need to figure out here is what the schedule is. So you wake up early in the morning, you go off to Destiny Man. Then you go from there to your show.
The radio show.
Do your show. Then Super Sports mostly on weekends?
Mostly on weekends, but I do have midweeking commitments every now and again.
7 days a week. You don't have an off day.
Yeah, but it's been like that for many years, though. I've worked a 7 day week for the longest time, long before. Destiny, long before Power, my days at SABC, I still work 7 days a week. So that part of it, as much as I've gotten kind of used to it, and that's my reality. Yeah.
How much?
And they haven't caught up to you yet, to the point where you're thinking, no, I can't do this anymore. It's just too much.
You know, as I said, I've had to accept it. I mean, unfortunately, there are days when I really think, this job sucks. When my friends are going off to do some nice things, you know, with their families and all of that, then I think, oh gosh, I've got to be at work. But I consider myself very fortunate and blessed. Man, I get paid to do something I love. Watching football. Yeah. Who gets what paid to go watch football?
Sure.
Yeah. So I am very careful not to complain too much.
What team do we support here? Do you have to be one of those objective sports people who doesn't have a favorite? You do?
Yeah, well, yeah, I do. No. I support Arsenal.
No. Here, PSL.
I'm not even going to tell you. Not even on Cliff Central.
Come on. Seriously?
You are saying people are not ready. We are not ready for the truth. We can't handle the truth.
I've been a Sundowns supporter. I've been a member of the football club since I was 15.
But you can say sports that. Club. You know, you don't
cares
in football.
I have no credibility.
And yeah, they don't even trust you. True. They say, you're just saying it. I'm like, it doesn't even watch
serious,
football.
Seriously, I'm a card-carrying member. I've even got the shirt.
Yeah.
Every year, Patrice's people send me a shirt with my name on the back.
As they should, for man. Sure. You need to support the Pretoria teams.
One year, Pirates tried, and I sent it back. I did.
You didn't give it to Tabo.
Well, Tabo doesn't want it because it says Cliff on the back. But if I'd had it made Tabo, then he would have kept it.
Does he still support Pirates, I wonder?
I spoke to him. Of course he does. It's one thing that'll be steady forever. I haven't spoken to Mudisane in a little while. I must catch up with him.
Yeah.
But it's amazing. You know, it is a close-knit kind of community. People in the media business, we all sort of know each other.
Mm, yeah, pretty much. As you say, it's a very small industry.
You don't have enemies, do you?
You can't have enemies, man. Where are you going to work? I mean, your enemy will be your boss tomorrow.
But you're such a nice guy, too. I don't think you've ever had really ugly fallouts of anything.
No, nothing major, man. Just you know, I've got irritations with some producers in the background, people who don't really matter that
like
much.
Flex,
who are not going to fire you.
You hear that, Flex? Producers, people who don't matter that much.
We've never had a fight.
Sure. Not yet.
No, I'm kidding, man.
Tabisa's going to pick a fight with you on the way out.
No, I've never really had much of a fallout with anyone. Nothing that's too serious anyway. Yeah.
What do you still want to do? You've covered it all. TV, radio, publishing. What's left?
Acting.
You want to do acting?
No, I've done it.
What?
I had a role
like a
on
cameo
this thing.
For how long?
I had a total of 6 episodes that I appeared
in. That's big.
About that much. And it was...
What did you play?
It was a pure bit of fun. I played Ma Agnes's love interest.
I was going to go with that.
Yeah, that's the reaction I get.
That would have made you her Ben 10, right?
Well,
I mean her role.
I wasn't, no, I wasn't actually cast as
Agnes is Ben 10.
No, but this is the sad thing. I wasn't even cast as a Ben 10. It was like...
What? They just said you were old.
I was big enough at the time to be legitimate as a love interest.
Okay.
To be a credible love interest.
Those script writers got to have their heads read.
Yeah, but it was actually something that we engineered in my time at Metro FM.
Very good.
Yeah, just on air, we were just having a bit of a laugh. It just must, my goodness, live such a miserable life. How about we get some, how about some excitement? Let's get a love interest or something. And we, you know, we called the producers and says, I'm volunteering to come on as a love interest. They bloody bit. I was shocked.
That's amazing. I did a one day, one episode cameo on Generations.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once. I was like...
He's Ben 10 with you.
Yeah.
No, I was just a date to some dance for one of the leads. Mm. But with you doing it 5 days, that's almost like, that's a real thing.
Well, it was more than 5 days because...
5 days on camera, five episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, but the shooting was over quite a number of days. So, yeah, I must say at times I felt like a bit of an imposter.
But could you act? You found it very easy?
I wouldn't say easy, but I did a bit of acting at school.
Okay.
So it was like, yeah, going back to
my
previous life. Yeah, so it was a bit of fun, though. I wouldn't ever try
all right,
to...
So hang on, now we've got to add these all together. So radio presenter, TV presenter, publisher and editor, actor. What else? Am I leaving anything out? Dad. We've got dad, husband.
That's a good... That's an important job. Important job, yeah.
What other jobs can you do with your eyes closed?
Oh, with my eyes closed? Nah, not much else, eh? None of these can I do with my eyes closed.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but yeah, it's been good. I can't think of anything off the top of my head that I still want to do. I do have a dream, like everyone else, of writing a book. It seems everyone's writing books these days, but I just don't think I've got a story yet that is worth telling. Maybe in years to come.
Yeah. Story you have. Time you do not.
No, time I do not. Absolutely not. Yeah, but it would be nice to do that.
And Destiny Man, the idea here is that you're producing a magazine that is for the modern South African male.
Absolutely. Very aspirational in its, in terms of philosophy. As much as it's aspirational, I mean, you also want it to be the kind of thing that should profiles people that are coming up to show that it's not a lot. There is a journey that is followed by the people that have cracked it, the people that have made it. And you also, profile guys that are still coming up, are doing wonderful things. And I'm always amazed at the number of guys that are, quietly getting on with business under the radar, away from the public eye.
Not the flashy ones.
Not the flashy ones. People that are doing real work.
And they're creating real wealth.
Absolutely.
Because that's a quiet thing.
Yeah. The bling
guys are—they're not making wealth; they're just spending.
No, absolutely, and they're the ones, unfortunately, that are giving a false impression of what it takes to succeed. People see those kind of guys flossing with their fancy cars, drinking champagne out of the bottle, and all of those things, and they think that, they make it. People then see that and think, this is easy. I can do that. Hmm. They have no idea what it takes to build a business and a successful business at that, and how many people have failed before they actually make it. So it's important that we tell the real story about what it takes to get there and make it into a national psyche to say that it's not as easy as it looks. You're not going to be a tenderpreneur. You're going to have to work hard. We have to change who are thinking as a society.
Well, there's nothing like having the editor of your magazine who's actually living that truth too. So you've got to work hard.
Thanks for saying
that.
No,
you do.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you could even find the time to talk to us today. It's a pleasure to see you again, Thabiso.
Thank you very much, Gareth.
All the best to you, the magazine.
I appreciate that.
Keep on growing the audiences on Power FM. Mm. Do what you do. You're the best at it.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate you inviting me, and thanks so much for the words of support. And to you too, I want to say that I admire your guts, but that's what entrepreneurs do. You went off on a limb. I'm sure you were cruising comfortably there at 5, but you took a chance, and I think it'll pay off. I think we're all going to be jealous and say, jeepers, and you remember when he started? When he started, I think that's what it takes. That's what it takes to succeed.
For everyone who's going to go, wow, look at what's happened, there's going to be someone who goes, oh, hell, I wouldn't want to go through what you know, you yeah. do when you start
no,
a business.
No, true, no, but...
But yeah, you're right.
Kudos, mate.
Thank you, man. Cheers. Thank you very much. Tabi Sotema, you can buy the latest edition of Destiny Man magazine. It'll be your first edition as editor.
My first one with my letter will be April.
Okay.
The April issue, which comes out in 2 weeks.
Because you guys do it like 2-3 editions
yeah,
before.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'll come out in on your shelves in 2 months' time.
Fantastic.
Two weeks, yeah.
And you can hear him on Power FM. You can see him on Supersport. Tabi Sotema, thank you very much.
Thank you, Gareth.
You'll see him more on TV and hear him more on radio than his kids get to see or hear him in real life. That's the truth.
Don't rub it in.
All right, here's the un-news. This is what you need to know. Jamie Oliver looks set to open a restaurant in South Africa, but Cape Tonians are horrified that he seems to have chosen Joburg as a venue. Originally planned for the V&A waterfront, with a beautiful backdrop of Table Mountain, Oliver looks to be taking his business to Melrose Arch instead. Cape Tonians think this is madness, that the restaurant will be a giant failure, and literally nobody cool will go, as all the country's cool people live in Cape Town. Oliver's spokesperson, however, said he's excited about making Joburg the South African home to his new restaurant. Year-round trade, a cosmopolitan business clientele, ultimately a better prospect than a mountain backdrop and bloggers looking for free meals in exchange for Instagram pics. A woman in Paris has entered a public phone booth, pulled her pants down and taken a giant shit. Now, before you all get angry and think that she wiped her backside with the photos as they came out of the booth, she did this... She did have her own... This is a true story. She did have her own paper to wipe. The world is going to the dogs, but there are still some levels of decency out there. Bring your own toilet paper, for heaven's sake. Finally, Super Rugby starts this weekend, so if you were looking to hook up with white chicks of all ages, this is prime time. Literally thousands of white girls will be discarded and ignored this weekend as boyfriends, husbands, and fathers gravitate towards TV sets, beers with the boys, and bries. You could drive down any neighborhood in a sort of poon ice cream fan to lure them out of their houses and nobody will even notice. So there we go. Good news all around. Have a great weekend. We will see you on Monday. Between 6 and 9, Mubs is going to be moving house, but the rest of us will all be here bright and cheery to start your week with you. Don't miss any of it. Today's lineup on cliffcentral.com includes Sia Sangweni Finn with Untapped Talent. What are you doing, Sia?
Talking to a young rapper, his name is Cap Fresh, and also a chef, and she calls herself a food stylist as well, Zola Nene.
Very good. Then we've got Jonty Searle and the team in Sex Talk from 10 to 11. 11 o'clock, it's the Casper Radio Show with Casper De Vries and his team. Edward Janssen van Rensburg, who's got wonderful stories to tell after being in the inner sanctum of Hollywood. Well-known singer, he'll tell us about his tours. And then a new segment called Vi with Yvonne van der Berg, answering questions about BDSM. That's right. The stuff of the poopy comes from Belgium and the corn is everywhere today. The Buzz with Jason van Berg, Nikita Camacho. They're going to be talking to Sarah Graham, the chef and author. Then they will chat to Sizwe from Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week about all things fashion. Then Theon Gubani, who's the good sir designer. And finally, they'll get old school with house maestro Todd Terry, who's in South Africa, to house you. O'Neill is on Cliff Central with a chance to talk to Nakane Toure, who blew up after he collaborated with Black Coffee on his hit single We Dance Again. Nigerian rapper and producer Chopsticks will be in on the 00C, and Freddie will show off his vocal abilities. You know, that's 2 hours of unrehearsed, unscripted music genius with O'Neill between 2 and 4. 4 o'clock, it's Kelman on Cliff Central with Aria Kelman. Aria's back from the Brit Awards. He did a whirlwind tour of the Brit Awards over the last 3 days. He has plenty of stories to tell. And his new celebrity friends are going to join him. Michael Flax is in for another edition of Relax It's.
Relax It's Flax. Be yes. there 4:20 today. You don't want to miss it.
Very good. Then Alessandro Barbosa brings you another episode of Gaming 15 and Rudy Funavestes and helps you with his own brand of crazy. If you miss anything, you can find it all on cliffcentral.com and any podcast from any time. You can get downloaded to your phone and listen whenever it suits you. Just press pause when you've got things to do.
You got to love this place on a Friday. There is a woman fondling what looks to be a giant phallic item sitting next to Jonty.
Oh, no, it's a vagina.
No, no, turn it around. It's got some other things too.
Oh, how exciting. Well,
it's an everyone wins kind of thing.
Sex Talk is always the show to listen to on a Friday. Today apparently is Fingering Friday. So there's some excitement for everybody to get into the groove with. All right, cheers. We'll see you on Monday. CliffCentral.com.